Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Of yourself that you don't show anybody. When I'm inside, I get to see those things. I feel them.
These girls were kidnapped, tortured, and murdered. Our killer is a white male, about 30 years old.
Carl Rudolph Starger once had the house under surveillance for about 20 minutes.
He keeps them in this thing for about 40 hours. And after 40 hours, the water starts. And it doesn't stop.
Hey there, and welcome to Rewatchability. This is the podcast where we rewatch old movies and TV shows to see how they hold up now, today, in the modern eye. My name is Blaine Waters. With me, as always, is
Robert Larone.
No funny nickname this time.
I was going to pretend I was in a coma. So maybe I am in a coma.
This is all just your dream.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm coming into your mind to do the podcast.
I see a light in the distance.
We are going to talk about Tarsem Singh's 2000 movie, The Cell, starring J-Lo.
Yeah, starring J-Lo. Don't bury the lead.
Starring J-Lo.
This is J-Lo's The Cell, featuring Tarsem Singh, maybe.
But before we get into that, we want to thank our Patreons. Those are people that go to patreon.com/rewatchability, yep. And they give us $1, $3, $5. You can get the podcast early and ad-free, mm-hmm. So you don't have to, you know, listen to people trying to sell you things.
In glorious stereo.
Exactly. And, oh, it's also in stereo.
It's in stereo.
Which is great. Now you can create the 3D space that we inhabit.
Whoa.
In your head.
Whoa. Whoa.
There's the Doppler effect everywhere, but you can go there and donate that. And you can also maybe there's some podcasts that we've recorded for just for our Patreon, so you can go there and get those special podcasts there as well. So, Rob, The Cell.
The Cell.
I think you might have maybe a thing for J-Lo. I don't know.
What?
But when did you first see this movie, and did you see it for J-Lo?
Blaine. I did not see The Cell.
Oh, no.
No, I missed this one. I passed it by. And I guess it was because at the time when it came out, I mean, you joke that I have a thing for J-Lo, but okay. I actually have a thing against J-Lo.
Oh, no.
I am not a big J-Lo fan. And okay. I understand, like, recently she's had a bit of a renaissance.
Yeah.
A lot of people were hoping that she'd be Oscar nominated for Hustlers.
Yeah, she was great in Hustlers and great in her halftime show.
That's right, yeah. She really touched down the football in the halftime show. And that's all great. All the best to J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez. I know she's gone through some shit dating Ben Affleck, so I want the best for her. But at the time when this movie came out, she was sort of ubiquitous. And she not everything she did was great, to be honest. It was not all halftime shows and Hustlers.
Right.
There was a lot of songs which were mediocre.
Yes.
Jenny from the Block. And kind of like seemed to have like an element of pathos to them, you know? Like she's singing about how now she's rich, but she's still the same person. And
right.
She has Ben Affleck in the video, but she's still like, you know, from the block.
That was all our long Dark Knight there.
I kind of wanted to see her fail.
Oh, God. So you, just because she kind of like, she was so everywhere, she was famous, you didn't like Ben Affleck probably at the same time.
No.
And you saw Gigli.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, that was the type of stuff that she was putting out. Geely and Jersey Girl,
right,
and stuff like that, where it's just like, you know what? I didn't see what was so great about Jennifer Lopez.
Okay.
However, when you suggested talking about this movie, mm-hmm, and in fact, I had been thinking about this film once the J-Lo renaissance had begun in earnest. So okay, I was like, yes, maybe this is the time to go back, look at this movie, and see if we can see the great performance that J-Lo would produce in Hustlers, whether we could see the seed of that in The Cell.
Oh, man.
The cell of that. And through mitosis, it must have
replicated and grown into an actual actor.
Yeah.
At some point. I mean, this isn't the movie to do that. This is not the movie that we will see that in, I don't think.
I've since found that out, perhaps. What about you, Blaine? Because you, I think, suggested this. And you said that maybe not this film, but Tarsem Singh's other film, The Fall, is one of your favorite movies.
I love The Fall. It is an absolute visual masterpiece. It is some good acting in there.
Okay.
Which, you know, there's some good acting in The Cell. But there's a lot of great acting in The Fall. And it's another The with four letters, two of them being L's.
Yeah.
It's I thought
style.
It was the start of a trilogy, but it was not. And it's just a beautiful movie about a young girl being told a story that means a lot to both people.
Okay.
And so it is small in its story and so grandiose in its scope. And it really flew under the wire. And when I first saw it, no one was talking about it and no one had talked about it. And so it felt like I discovered it.
Right.
And so I owned a piece of it.
I love that.
I love that too.
Feeling.
Yeah. And then hipsters have taken it and run with it.
Yeah. Now there's like The Fall t-shirts. Everybody's wearing them from Urban Outfitters or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But this movie was Tarsem Singh's first movie.
Right.
And I did not know when I saw The Fall who Tarsem Singh was. I didn't know that he was connected to The Cell.
Okay.
I didn't know that he was the director that did both or who he would go on to be.
Mm.
Because I don't have a time machine. But I did love that movie. And so when I had seen The Fall when it first came out around that time, I didn't like it. I hated the movie.
Wait, you hated The Fall?
I hated The Cell.
Oh, you hated The Cell.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so when I saw The Fall and I realized it was the same director, I was like, oh, I should go back and rewatch The Cell at some point. Maybe there's the seed, the cell of Tarsem Singh's The Fall in this movie, right? And so I'm so glad we did this movie so that I could go back and do that.
So you haven't seen it since you've seen The Fall?
I have not seen it since I've seen that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I was surprised by a few things in this. I'm a Vincent D'Onofrio fan. I like
what? Okay, wait. Stop the podcast. Wait. Oh, Vincent D'Onofrio. Sorry, I thought you. I was thinking Vince Vaughn, who's the other Vince in this movie. Vincent D'Onofrio is good. Yeah, sorry. I was having Vince blindness.
Yeah, he's Vince Abel. Vince Vaughn is not. So when I saw Vince D'Onofrio, I was like, I got really excited for this movie.
Yes.
And J-Lo has since become a bigger deal and more of a serious actor. Mm-hmm. And I loved her in Out of Sight so much. So I think I was really – I went in with high expectations because I was like, I love the director. I love the actors. And this is kind of the plot of Inception, so I should just like this movie. I can't wait to see it and see if it was kind of unfairly snubbed by everyone else. And we'll get into that.
Damn right we will.
So, Rob.
J-Lo should have won the Oscar.
For The Cell. No one said ever. Rob, do you want to run down the plot to this movie for
Ooh.
People who have not seen it before?
Okay. Okay, I will.
It's a challenge.
Well, I should say that it starts in a desert, a vast, sandy, dune-filled desert, and there is a rider on a horse and Middle Eastern sounds all around.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to go for atmosphere here.
And, of course, the rider is J-Lo.
Yeah.
Because, of course.
And the horse, Vincent D'Onofrio. He's that good.
He is that good. Yeah. He played all of the animals and inanimate objects in this film.
So good. Yeah. Such a good actor.
But a little bit egotistical.
Yeah.
And he behaved like a real horse on the set. That's the problem with those method actors.
Or one end of the horse.
But she gets off the horse. She walks along the dunes, and she eventually meets up with this little boy, as you do.
In the middle of a desert. And he's flashing her at this point, right? That's with this pocket
blade.
Watch.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's what you're saying.
How dare you insinuate. But this is her kind of method of meeting people in this dreamscape, is that she gets them to, like, put a mirror up to the sun.
Right.
Which, I don't know. Can't they have, like, a bell or something?
That boy is just the right age to not, you know, be disgusting with Jennifer Lopez.
What do you... What, like him fawning over her or something?
Yeah. I mean, he's like, you know, he's like flashing her and you brought it up.
It was your mind, my friend.
Oh, my God. You've got to go in there, man.
I don't want to go in there.
But she is trying to convince this boy to go sailing. She says that he's promised to take her sailing. And yeah. He shows her the boat, mm-hmm. but it's a shipwreck in the middle of the desert.
And then he shows her another boat, and it's like a toy boat. And I thought she was going to be like, fuck you, just give us a boat. But she's like, this is perfect, which I don't know.
She's so nice in this movie. I think that's the one thing I like about J-Lo in this movie. She's very warm and like
– She's what people – like the image people have of Mother Teresa.
Yeah. You know?
She's always smiling. She's very inviting. There's not like kind of a – an evil bone in her body, or even like an acerbic cutting bone in her body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this kid turns into a monster, like all kids do. And she has to go back to where she came from, which is reality. See, this is all a dreamscape. It's a coma dream. She is inside this boy's mind, mm-hmm. we find out. She wakes up and she's in some sort of weird virtual reality device.
Yeah, where they put her muscles on the outside of her body.
Yeah, that's right.
It's this weird suit that looks like all the muscles on her body are on the inside. It's so weird.
It's pretty creepy. Mm-hmm. It's very Body Works.
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's also weird because instead of like a big thing of goggles, they just put a sheet over her face, like a handkerchief.
Yeah, and the sheet has like these kind of Middle Eastern carpet patterns in them she looks into and then goes into the dream. They're also both suspended from the air. Which,
yeah.
Why do you have to be suspended to go? I don't know.
Well, she says later that the feeling of weightlessness makes them feel relaxed.
Okay.
The people who have the particular syndrome that this boy has, which is called, we find out later, I think it's like Whedon's imperative or something.
Yeah, Joss Whedon's imperative.
That's right.
Yeah, this
that's
is part
right.
of the Whedonverse. Yeah.
It's the imperative where you take a strong woman and then you objectify her. Whelan's infraction. That's what it's called.
Okay.
Close though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we find out that she is like a social worker, mm-hmm. and she essentially, her job is to sort of go into this boy's brain. He's in a coma and try to draw him out. And his parents are all funding all of this, mm-hmm. and it's a huge medical breakthrough.
Yeah.
And she's the only one that can do it because she's the only one who cares enough.
When I saw this, I finally understood my mom's job. No? As a social worker, I knew what she did now day to day.
She's like going into kids' minds?
Yeah, exactly.
Much respect to your mom. There's some fucked up shit in there.
That's what social workers do.
Yeah,
but she was chosen as part of this experimental program, right? Because she was the only person that didn't just observe the kids. She wanted to talk to them and interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice.
Yep.
We've waited 18 months for signs of progress.
There has been progress.
There's no proof, Catherine.
With all due respect, Mr. Baines, I'm not the one who designed the procedure. I mean, I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't. I was chosen to do a job. They picked me. But if you think there's someone better, or someone who's more devoted to your son, then...
No one's doubting your ability, Catherine.
Well, then what is it then?
Meanwhile, there's a bunch of other shit going on in the world. Some fucked up shit. There is a serial killer, the aforementioned Vincent D'Onofrio, mm-hmm. and he's got this thing where he likes to kidnap women and then put them in some sort of semi-saw situation where they are trapped in a tank and then he slowly drowns them.
Yeah. Only Houdini could escape that, and they're in there drowning. And then he dumps their body. He makes them into dolls and then dumps their body in, like, shallow creeks.
Yeah, it's pretty 90s typical serial killer bullshit.
Yeah, it's like Kiss the Girls or Collect the Girls, whatever that one was called.
Where they got the girls.
Yeah. Just... Get those girls.
How about Leave the Girls Alone?
Collect them all.
I mean, this movie definitely suffers from the dead woman syndrome where, you know, in order to have the plot going, we need a not nameless but characterless dead woman wrapped up in a shower curtain.
Yeah, and if she can be sexy or nude at any point when she's dead,
why not be nude at all points?
Yeah, at all points, and then be talking about, like, horrible things that happen to them in their lives. It's just, like, the worst kind of greedy, slimy male thing in this movie. I hated it.
Yeah, I found, like, the male gaze in particular at those moments, like, pretty off-putting.
Yeah, a little bit.
Here's a sexy dead woman. That's hot.
And then as they're dying, make her say daddy, daddy over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was cringy. It was hard to watch.
Yeah.
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 But he also has this thing.
The imperative.
The
fracture.
The imperative. And he likes to suspend himself over the girls, and climax.
That's what it's when he does his thing,
which is great.
It's pretty gross. It's pretty out there.
Yeah,
and he's not a good guy. But luckily, they're on to him. Mm-hmm. Vince Vaughn and some other people, including the guy who played Nash Bridges' dad, Nash Bridges. They're on the case.
Oh God!
And they managed to, like, track him down, doing all, like, the detective shoe leather stuff. Except just as they're about to arrest him, he's taking a nice bath,
mm-hmm.
and he starts to have one of his episodes, and he's out of pills.
Yeah.
So when they find him, he's unconscious on the floor.
Yeah, the police raid his house, and he's just there with the rings in his back.
Mm-hmm. And there is another person who has been kidnapped. And so they figure that this other person is in the same situation as all of his other victims. So they have a limited amount of time to figure out where she is before she ends up drowning.
Yeah, that's because he's not only set up cameras to videotape the death, he's also put the pump on a timer so that it pumps in water every 15 minutes just to scare the person. And then after 48 hours, I'm laughing because it's the most contrived plot device ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you look at, like, Silence of the Lambs, you see that he has the woman in the well and he's going to do something with her. He's preparing to do something with her and there's a ticking clock on that. Mm-hmm. But this is like it seems so ham-handed.
Yeah. He's not even going to be there. He's not even going to be watching. He sort of comes back later.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, it makes me feel like they were like, oh, we need to rescue this girl and she can't just be trapped. There needs to be something else. And instead of her getting into her own trouble, they have this thing on a timer.
Yeah, it's like a quicksand thing.
Exactly.
But this movie rips off a few beats from Silence of the Lambs.
Many.
That's right. Thank you for the correction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, including that both killers have a white dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, they're both obsessed with, like, skin. That's another one.
Yeah.
He's putting hooks in himself.
Mm-hmm. But so Vince Vaughn and his pals, they decide that they need to use Jennifer Lopez's technology in order to go inside this guy's brain and find out where this woman is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it seems like a bit of a tall order, but they've talked to the board and one of the doctors is willing to go through with it. But they just have to sort of convince J-Lo because she's the one who would actually have to go in there.
And the way they convince her, this brilliant pitch of theirs, is just to show a video of a woman drowning.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
I mean, I would see that and be like, yes, this other woman is going to drown that way and she needs help. But I would also see that and be like, that guy's fucked up. No way am I going in his brain.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Well, I mean,
really?
J-Lo's reaction, I find even more flabbergasting because she's like, I feel for the girl. I do. Like, she can't go to her favorite concert because she has to work. J-Lo, come on.
I thought the same thing. She's not like, No, this is like, first of all, probably illegal. There's no laws around this. Second of all, I could die. Third of all, we just shouldn't do it. Instead, she's like, I feel for her. I really do. Like, what?
Can I ask you something?
Please.
If he wasn't like this, if he was conscious, do you think that he would tell you where she is?
There's always a chance of a confession, yeah. And there's things that he's done that show a need for disclosure. He hasn't had a sympathetic ear. He wants someone to listen, to try and understand him.
Look, I feel for this girl, I do. But Stargirl may no longer know the truth. For severe schizophrenics, there's no discerning between fantasy and reality.
Come on, have some heart.
Yeah.
It makes me think that, like, even her as an actor at that point would be like, do I say this line? This doesn't feel like the character.
I don't know.
Because the character is, like, a very empathic person.
Well, she's supposed to be very caring, at least to children.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about...
But not to drowning women.
I guess not.
You know what we didn't talk about, too, just as an aside, is that the first kid was in a coma because he was clubbed.
Wait, what?
Wasn't he clubbed? Like, there was seal clubbing going on this island, and then he was on the same beach as the seals were getting clubbed, and he was clubbed. That's what, the newspaper was.
What?
Yeah. No, it was so weird.
No, wait. Am I in the coma?
No, wait. Was there something else? Did I read into it wrong?
That sounds insane.
It is insane. Apparently, he was, sailing, and they stopped on this beach, and then there's this, she's looking at newspaper articles of the kid being, found on this beach, and then other newspaper articles being, illegal clubbing on Seal Beach. It was just all so weird. And that's why he has the seal paws at that one point. The kid in the dream.
You broke me.
It's so weird. Anyway, this movie is so weird.
No,
at points.
I'm done. That's it, man.
I'm out. Wake me
I'm
up.
I'm pressing the chip.
We should also say that she does have a chip that she can wake herself up with if she massages the part between her index and thumb.
Mm-hmm.
That little webbing there.
It's a very erotic place.
Stop touching it.
Yeah. So she decides to go in. And yeah, this is a fucked up dreamscape. Even more fucked up than the kid with the seal paws. I mean, she goes in there and at first, she sees a boy. Mm-hmm. So this is the killer
as a child
or his child self or his innocence or something like that. And she tries to bond with him over this horse. We know she likes horses.
Who doesn't like horses?
She's a horse girl.
Yeah.
But just as she's starting to get through to him, he has to save her from this thing coming down and slicing the horse into sausage bits.
Yeah, it does create a lot of horse steaks.
It's more body works.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the machine at IKEA that they use for their meatballs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's lots of fucked up things that happen.
Oh, yeah.
And she eventually, I think she goes and she sees these manifestations of all of the killer's victims.
Yeah.
And then she gets sort of knocked out by this muscle woman.
Yes, the woman who is big in every way. She dominates. She throws J-Lo into a wall and knocks her out. But yeah, it's weird. And she looks like a kind of wrestling action figure.
Yeah.
This woman.
And I guess we're supposed to be playing pop psychologist with all of these images. And we're trying
dolls.
To put together, what has happened to the Vincent D'Onofrio character that has made him so fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. We see that a scene later when Vincent D'Onofrio as a kid is being abused by his dad for playing with dolls.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
So now Vincent D'Onofrio has grown up and he wants to play with real life dolls.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Easy. Psychology done.
But she gets brought to the sort of adult manifestation of him, mm-hmm. and she freaks out and presses the thing and leaves. She describes him as a king of his realm, and he has all of these, this cape / curtain.
I think this is a beautiful scene, visually.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's in this throne and there's these drapes around the entire room.
Yeah, and he starts walking and the drapes sort of like come out and they flutter behind him yeah. like these like glorious archangel wings.
Yeah, and you realize they're attached to his back and he comes down the steps. It's beautiful.
But then you're like, he's got to put those back up every time, right? It's like you go to the bathroom, and then you got to put the curtains back. And
that's like, you have to rethread it, and that's really hard.
It's a pain in the ass.
Pain in the back.
Yeah. So she thinks maybe like it's too much for her.
Mm.
And also, like Vince Vaughn, meanwhile, he's been waiting to see what happens. Mm-hmm. And they eventually have a little bit of a bonding moment.
Yeah. He kind of tells her why he's an FBI agent now because mm-hmm. he couldn't save someone in the past. Who knew?
He used to be a DA, district attorney. And then he tells this like traumatizing story about, you know, how there was a bit of tainted evidence. And so a killer got free and killed again.
Yeah.
Which is such like a, you know, Reagan jack-off Republican fantasy, right?
Totally.
She's like, these killers, they keep getting off because of evidence.
Yeah. And he also drinks and doesn't have an apartment. So he's just like every FBI. Like, this is what every FBI agent is in every film.
Mm-hmm. But they are sort of like setting up a little bit of an argument. It almost seems like. Like, J-Lo has a lot of empathy even for this guy. At least for his younger self or for the innocent whatever inside him.
Yeah, the child, yeah.
Whereas Vince Vaughn, he believes that like no matter what has happened to somebody as a kid, that they shouldn't turn out to be a person like that. Like that shouldn't make somebody
like your evil. Past shouldn't impact your future when he's drinking. Yeah, he's really hypocritical.
Yeah.
And we don't – do we get a story from J-Lo there either? Like we don't really
– No.
We just get some backstory on him and then she goes under again.
Yeah. Well, we don't get a lot of backstory on J-Lo's character at all. And we only see her home life in this one scene, which basically exists only so we get a good shot of her ass.
God. Yeah, I know. She's in her pajamas. She's going to sleep. And then, you know, we can show that. That's like the whole pitch for the scene.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it. Because we don't learn anything about her. She watches TV, so I guess maybe we're learning what she likes on TV. There's no reason for it.
There is one point where she sort of has a dream about being in the boy's coma. So it shows that her, like, mental state, which, you know, the fluidity of it can cause bad things to happen. Like, if she thinks she's in the dream, then...
Yeah. I guess if she thinks she's in the dream, but like the dream never impacts her real life anyway.
But it is, I mean, we have to talk about it because it's just like 100% like male gazy. Like it is like Jennifer Lopez's ass is revealed to us. Like it is an object of wonder.
Yes. And the male characters are flawed, but she still falls for the – it's just everything is very much a male fantasy
in
this
perfect.
Movie.
And she's perfect. She is so comforting and nurturing, like a mother figure.
Oh, my God.
We're really starting to get into this Tarsem Singh's psychology.
Yeah, or the writer who has since disowned this film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was their first film.
Okay. All right.
But we'll get into that after
that's
break.
That's very interesting, mm-hmm. Yeah. But she does go – back into the thing. And when she's there, she talks to the guy.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio. And he tells her all about like the trauma and all of that stuff that's happened to him. And we see more scenes of him having a blackout while he's being baptized and all of that stuff.
Which is part of Whelan's curse or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you here? Don't lie.
I came to help you.
Lie. Bitch. Whore. Cunt.
You sound like your father.
Come on. He was nothing. He is nothing.
But then eventually he just turns on her and captures her.
Mm-hmm.
And so Vince Vaughn.
I mean, this whole scene is done over a bathtub full of blood with a naked woman in it.
Yeah.
So the male, yes, just every scene is male gaze-y.
Yeah.
Grotesquely.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Vince Vaughn says, well, I need to go help her. I need to go into this machine that she's been prepping for whatever length of time. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, it didn't help her, so it's not going to help me. Put me in, coach. And he goes, he gets dressed up in that muscle suit and goes in as well to chase her down.
Yeah. And he eventually sort of saves her, but not before getting his like intestines sort of like pulled out slowly.
Yeah. By Vince D'Onofrio, who's like this cackling.
Who else would do it, Blaine?
Mad King. This really crazy cool character that I liked Vincent D'Onofrio playing in this movie, where he's like clapping and really excited to do all these evil things.
He is really good.
It's like terrifying.
There's one moment where he's lunging after his younger self and he sort of like picks him up by the arm and he just looks so mad and it's crazy. He is a great actor.
Yeah. And there's J-Lo is kind of under his spell and Vincent D'Onofrio has to tell something to J-Lo about her past. That she knows she's in a dream.
Yeah.
Only Vincent D'Onofrio could know this, which would be great if she had told Vincent D'Onofrio in the scene where they're telling each other personal things.
Wait, do you mean Vince Vaughn?
Sorry, Vince Vaughn, yeah.
You have Vince blindness
no!
too!
No! I thought I was invincible.
No, you're in Vince Vaughn, his coma dream.
Oh, God.
We're all in Vince Vaughn's mind right now,
this
Blaine.
This is Vince Vaughn's world, man. You can see that by all the roles he's getting. So they share this personal moment, but we only hear about him. Where then the next scene, he has to tell her something about herself that would have been good to know as character development in the previous scene.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. It's just bad schlocky writing that I'm sure the original screenwriter didn't do, but was done. And so he tells her, you know, I know that like your brother was
killed in an accident. And he was in a coma before he died.
Exactly. Yeah.
And now she works with boys in comas. So.
Yeah. So she got over that fear.
And Vince Vaughn sees a symbol that he recognizes from the killer's apartment. So now he knows how to find the girl. So it didn't even take the killer telling him. And so he goes off to do that.
Well, and it's crazy because those symbols were on the machine that the criminal used to suspend himself.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like –
it's like a trademark or something.
Well, wouldn't you use like the most – specific thing in the house to try to track down, like, this person? Wouldn't you do that anyways, police officer?
He's not very good.
No, he's not a great.
He's like, maybe we can go inside their brains first.
I'm drunk.
Yeah. So he goes off to do that and to save the girl. And meanwhile, J-Lo, she decides to bring Carl, Vincent D'Onofrio's character, into her mind.
Yeah. Which is kind of fun because there was a thing before where she was wanting to do that with the kid that got clubbed on the Seal Beach and she couldn't. She wasn't allowed to. So now she's like, I'll show them the kind of power that I have in my own mind.
Yeah, that's right. And again, it's like a really beautiful scene. She's like some sort of like, like a Mother Teresa or
a saint. She's definitely a saint and she
Virgin
with a bow and arrow. And she bows and arrows that guy right into the floor.
Yeah.
And then she kills him.
Well, he tells her a story about how once he found a bird and his leg was broken, so he drowned it as like an act of mercy.
Because he knew that the dad would like kill it in a violent way.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So she sort of does the same thing to him and kills him and lets him be at peace or whatever.
Which is kind of a callback to his first seizure or whatever, being in the water, being baptized.
Yeah.
So he's like baptized anew but without this creature in him that made him do all these violent acts.
Yeah, and the drowning him is juxtaposed exactly with the girl drowning.
Yeah.
And, you know, just barely being rescued by Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm. Who tells her to get back from the glass and then proceeds to point the gun at her and shoot through the glass at her.
Yeah.
Just the worst cop. Yeah. And he's hitting the metal of the thing and bullets are bouncing around. Just put the gun up to the glass. Anyway, there's all these things in this movie that don't make any sense. Because
I'm not
going to
pretend to know how guns work.
But he does save her and cradles her in his arms.
Yeah.
Because she's a victim and he is there.
He's the dude.
He's
the hero.
He's the man.
And then they kiss.
Yeah, I'm
probably
sure.
Probably.
I'm sure that's what the producers wanted to. But that's kind of the end of it. But for a coda where J-Lo has taken this other kid that was clubbed on Seal Beach into her own mind and given him like a good ending as
right.
well.
Yeah.
And let him go. And she takes a dog. Because we needed to know what happened to that dog.
Got
to
know what happens to the dog.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, Blaine, is dogs are innocent even
right.
when they belong to serial killers. A lot of dogs don't know that their owners are serial killers.
Yeah.
So.
That's fair.
You know.
Yeah.
Leave them alone.
I see that.
It's like a rescue, you know. You can adopt a serial killer's dog. They need homes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know what? That's kind of a plot to an old other movie. That'd be a great – like, is this dog a fucking serial killer?
Yeah.
Like, anyway.
Well, I mean, like, there's those racist dogs, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That's so horrible.
You don't think being a serial killer's dog is going to fuck you up?
Yeah, as a
Watch
dog?
Watch out, J-Lo. And that's The Cell.
And that's The Cell. We're going to be right back after these messages with some behind the scenes, with some trivia I have for you, Rob. So sit tight. Don't drift off into a terrifying dream world of your own creation.
Is this even real?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Rewatchability. We're doing The Cell with J-Lo, Vincent D'Onofrio, Vince Vaughn,
mm-hmm.
so many Vinces,
mm-hmm.
and this director, Tarsem Singh. So, Rob, I have some questions for you, man.
I have some questions as well.
Just about this movie
mm-hmm.
in general? Well, feel free to ask them at any point.
Okay.
Question number one. There are many artists, visual artists, whose work was inspiration for this film. There's Odd Nerdum, whose work Dawn features four ladies kind of mouth agape staring up into the sky in the desert.
Okay. I remember that scene.
Yeah, that's the scene in this.
They only had three ladies, though.
Yeah, I know. Budget.
Yeah.
And then was the brothers Quay, who were influential stop-motion animators. So you can kind of see that in like the doll-esque scenes.
Okay.
And then Damien Hirst, who's the physical impossibility of death in the mind of someone living, features a dissected tiger shark suspended in glass.
Oh.
So it's kind of like the horse thing going on.
I see.
But there's one other artist whose art, Tarsem said, shaped this movie. And their art shaped a whole other film franchise. Do you know the artist?
Bob Ross.
Bob Ross, is it?
Yes. Happy Little Trees.
Oh, they're so good.
No, I'm going to say fucking guy who... designed Alien.
Yeah, H.R. Geiger.
Geiger all over
Geiger.
The place, man.
Geiger.
Anytime you see like black tubules that look like penises, that's Geiger.
Yeah, that's always Geiger. And they're not penises.
No.
Sometimes a tube is just a tube.
Sometimes the tube is also a vagina.
God damn
With
it.
Geiger.
With Geiger. It's like an assistance app on your phone. With Geiger, everything's a penis.
Yeah, Geiger's art's crazy. I mean, it influenced a lot of that sci-fi stuff from the 80s.
Yeah.
Metal albums as mm-hmm. well. So.
Yeah, and all these artists are so interesting. I like looked up a bit on Odd Nerdum, who I'd never heard of before.
No.
But he went to prison for 4 years for tax evasion.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
For like – I think it was like – it was a couple million dollars that he'd stowed away in a safety deposit box because as a kind of collateral on his paintings, on these paintings that he had done. So he was like, that's not tax evasion. That's allowed to happen. Anyway, he was pardoned by a king. A little while later, but that happened last little while.
That sucks, man.
So
taxes.
Odd Nerdum was my dad, so it really sucked. So the two Vinces in this film, Vincent D'Onofrio and Vince Vaughn,
mm-hmm.
they star as brothers in a film 6 years later.
Oh man, really?
Yeah. What film is that?
Vincent D'Onofrio and Vince Vaughn. Wedding Crashers.
I love how the trivia portion of this podcast really keeps the pace up.
Okay, I give up.
It is. I know it. Don't even think I don't. It's The Breakup.
The Breakup
with Jennifer Aniston.
Oh,
I would not have known that in a million years. So
I think I've actually seen that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another movie where Vincent Vaughn's in it. And there's a naked woman for no reason.
Yeah?
Yeah. She like, gets all undressed and then, like, as they're breaking – I don't know. It's in the trailer.
Okay.
There's a claim circulating.
Oh!
Yeah, those claimers that J-Lo never wanted to be in another sci-fi or horror movie ever again because she didn't want to be typecast as a scream queen.
Mmm.
But – I can only find one other horror movie she did before this movie. Name that film.
Was she in Anaconda?
She was in Anaconda.
Yes!
Boom!
It was like her and Ice Cube, right?
Yeah, I think
so. Why haven't we done Anaconda?
I know! That was in my notes being like, why haven't we done this movie? Yeah, that was a huge cultural hit.
It was something.
It was parodied in so many movies.
That was like the golden age of ridiculous monster movies where you get a good ensemble cast, throw them to some exotic location, and then watch them be eaten one by one by something big.
Yeah, dinosaur.
Yeah.
Snake.
Or whatever was in Congo.
Yeah, they certainly weren't apes. They were, like, mutant. I don't know. So there were a lot of changes to this movie, which is one of the reasons why the writer totally disowned it.
Oh.
There were many scenes cut. There was many others brought back on board, like many other writers brought on board. I think the whole thing had, like, the screenwriter claims, like, over a dozen, like, rewriters on it, none of which were really given credit. He was only given credit, so he's like, it's not mine. I don't know. I don't hold this. I don't own this.
I wrote a different cell. Cell with an S.
And he wants the original screenplay to be remade now.
Well, of course he does.
Yeah, because who wouldn't? That'd be a good payday.
But why would they?
Exactly. So there were many scenes cut. There was apparently more in the bathtub scene where they were talking. It was like 3 minutes longer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. A lot of talking in that scene.
I could have taken an actual bath during that scene.
You would have come out cleaner on the other end than watching that scene. And the infiltration, like, raid scene where they find the guy on the ground. There was a whole other part where someone found the guy on the ground to begin with, and then they did the raid.
Oh.
So why would you do the raid after you found the guy on the – it makes no sense.
Maybe they thought he was, like, a victim.
And yeah.
Like, oh, where's the guy who's the killer? Oh, right. It's just this guy.
This guy. He's gonna be
Turns easy to... out he wasn't so scary after all.
Okay, everybody, grab a ring. Just card him out.
Oh, my God, we forgot to talk about Jennifer Lopez ripping out his nipples.
He didn't need them.
He didn't need his nipples?
No, man.
Ah.
Yeah, he is pierced in a lot of different ways in his dreams, and one of the piercings goes right through both his nipples, and when she says the line, like, you're in my world now, she rips the whole thing off his chest, and we see it all.
We
see the skin stretch, way too much.
It looks like rubber.
It does look like rubber.
Oh, it's crazy, though.
That's so gross. So one of the scenes featuring the suspension that was put back in to the Blu-ray release that made the Blu-ray release 2 minutes longer, so I don't even want to see the Blu-ray release at this point, is him suspended above the girl jerking off.
I saw that.
So you saw the whole – because the scene – the version that I saw was kind of just – you saw his face contorting like he was doing that. But you saw the whole thing where he was –
I saw the whole thing.
Oh, my God, Rob.
Not the whole thing. But, yeah, it was definitely obvious that's what he was doing.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry, too.
Maybe I can go in there and, like, combination this and Eternal Sunshine and wipe your memory
Please
of that one
do.
Spot.
I have some other places for you to do as well.
That'll cost you more. So suspension is a real thing, Rob. I don't know if you knew this.
No, I remember from like the Jerry Springer heyday when they would have people. They would often refer to them as freaks. And then they would hang them from their piercings. And Jerry would be like, oh, my God, isn't that freaky? And then Steve Wilkos would cross his arms and nod. And
yeah,
then,
trying to cover up his own his piercings. Own
many piercings. Yeah.
So
is this where you reveal that you are a suspender?
Hey, big spender. I've never – I don't have a piercing at all. But it just – I don't – the pain.
The pain.
It seems painful.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
No.
Do you have piercing? Did you ever get like were you around in the 90s? You did like a nipple thing?
Well, or? I wouldn't talk about anything below my clothes, but no.
Below your clothes.
No, I my precious body.
It's a temple.
So, if I soil it, then Jesus won't be able to play there.
So suspension started, some people think it was like a kind of ancient religious thing.
Right.
But it wasn't. The Wikipedia research that I did, the armchair research I did, went back as far as kind of the Mandan peoples of the Missouri River. So they did a whole ceremony called the Okipa ceremony where, I'm going to describe this to you.
Okay.
So if you thought high school was hard, this is how they became men. So young men did not eat, drink, or sleep for 4 days.
I'm out.
Yeah. Then they had to smile while wooden hooks were inserted into their chest and shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would be hung while they smiled until they passed out. And then if they didn't pass out, the stones were put on them until the weight was too much for them and they passed out. So just pass out early. Is what I would say. So
no reason to stay in the game.
Then when they wake up, it doesn't stop, man. When they wake up, they would have to make a sacrifice, and they would put their pinky on a stone.
No,
and their left pinky would be chopped off by a hatchet. Then once that's cauterized, they would attach buffalo skulls to the hooks on their skin. And then they would do what was called one source called it a death race, but I don't think that's probably what they called it. But they ran around until the buffalo skulls dug into the ground too much and pulled the hooks out of them. And then they'd be free from the ceremony. And if you did that, you got the respect of all the tribe.
Yeah, no fucking shit.
Yeah. For Rob, if you did that twice, then you were famous forever. So one of their chiefs, Matata Pe, did it twice and became chief of the tribe.
Man, is it even worth it? Power, but at what cost?
With great power comes great pain. Oh, so much pain.
Yeah, I can't deal with that, man.
Yeah,
I cut my finger, and you know, I was like, it just ended.
I know. I would pass out from looking at the blood of just a cut finger. So that, I mean, I think he should get, you know, Badass for Life Award or something, because that's insane that he did that twice. So Tarsem Singh?
Yes.
Didn't do it. He didn't go. He didn't do that. He didn't do that ceremony.
What?
I know.
No.
But he went through his own kind of trials and tribulations. He grew up in India. He saw a book in a stall that said film colleges of the U.S. And he was like, you can go to school for this thing called film? Like, oh, my God, I thought you had to go to school for something that your dad wanted you to do that you hated. So he lied to his parents and said, I'm going to Harvard for law, and went to film school instead in the States. And when he told them that, his father said, you no longer exist.
Oh.
And then hung up the phone. So that kind of sucks.
Damn.
And Tarsem went on to become like a huge commercial director.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of music videos as well.
Yeah.
And then this was his kind of first film.
Do you know some of his music videos?
I don't.
Okay, Blaine.
I'm not a...
One big one, one famous one, which I think is referenced in this movie, is Losing My Religion.
Oh, yeah.
R.E.M.
Green Day. Oh, yeah.
Fucking Green Day. Yeah, but this movie, you can definitely tell that it has a commercial music video director sort of sense of style.
Totally. I mean, that opening scene in the desert, you're just like panning in on the hot tub with people drinking beers. Like, it feels like this wide, expansive thing that's meant to like sell you on an idea or an experience that you're supposed to have with this one product.
But nothing means anything.
I mean, the thing with this movie is that nothing means anything and everything has too simple a meaning as well.
Right.
Like, everything is just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's easy to connect. And then when you do connect it, people tell you how to connect it. And you're like, I already got it.
Yeah.
So don't worry. I didn't have to think when I Yoda in this movie. And that's kind of the downfall of this movie is that you don't have to think. There's no real joy in what's happening.
Yeah.
There's no real awe. There's beautiful scenes and beautiful set decoration and ideas behind it. But I didn't feel... Like when you see the fall, you get this feeling of awe, this feeling of like inspiration hitting an artist and things coalescing into a story that had to form out of these images and ideas that he had, much like a bad Transformers movie written in the writer's strike. But it works so well because it's like the story told and you care about the characters so much telling it. Whereas this, J-Lo didn't really have a character.
No.
And Vince Vaughn had a character that was drawn with a wide, wide brush.
Yeah, it's just a cliche. It's just a drunk cop.
Yes. And he didn't play it with any understanding. Mm-hmm. And J-Lo, I felt like she was, I don't know, doing something at least with it. Like, I believed her as a social worker. I didn't believe Vince Vaughn as an FBI agent.
No.
I was like, oh, this is a guy that thinks he's acting right now. Sorry, Vince.
wow.
But I'm sure he's done, you know, he was in Dread Across Concrete. He was all right in that.
Okay.
So I feel like he's gotten better, but this was not his best outing.
Yeah.
And maybe that was to do with the material or the director.
There's so little stuff for the characters. There's nowhere for them to develop. Like, there's no... Like, with Silence of the Lambs, we get a bunch of stuff about Jodie Foster's backstory that makes us, like, you know, at least wonder about her or care about her.
The whole title is her backstory. Like, it makes sense, yes. And this movie and Silence of the Lambs had this feeling of, do you really want to go into this dark world? Can you handle it? Like, is there something to be found there for you and to help people at the same time? Whereas this...
She never has the sense that she can't. She's just full of, like, serenity and grace and, you know...
And she's afraid at times, but...
Kinda,
yeah. She kind of just starts collecting boys at the end of the movie. Like,
yeah, that's right.
She just keeps on inviting these comatose young men into her mind. And
don't
like,
do it, ladies.
You can
trouble.
You can live here. so yeah, it's
they ain't never gonna leave.
So yeah, she's like, get a job, grow up. They're like, nope, we live here now. Just playing Xbox. So I felt like this movie, the producers were really maybe pushing it in a Silence of the Lambs way or the director was. And it just seemed like, let's do these horrifying images for horrifying image's sake.
Yeah.
Let's – even like the kid, like the murderer that Vince Vaughn – like he got off because of what Vince Vaughn did.
Mm-hmm.
Like the thing that he did afterwards to go to jail – was horrific, and Vince Vaughn describes it in such, like, detail.
Yeah.
Like cutting someone in half, you know, and all that stuff. And so it's very much like a Saw movie, like those movies that just revel in the worst, in the grossest.
Extremities.
Yeah, and trying to really, like, that's where the story is. But there's no story there.
No.
And that's what this movie sorely lacked. It was, like, very confused, although pretty, you know?
Yeah.
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 Well, how did you feel about the movie?
I mean, that's exactly how I felt. I didn't enjoy watching it. I thought there was, lots of really striking images, but they looked like images from music videos, and they didn't have anything to do with, like, what was happening. Or, yeah, they did in, like, the most glaringly obvious way. And it reminded me a lot of, like, David Lynch things because, mm-hmm. obviously, like, he's also done the dead woman wrapped in a shower curtain.
Well, that's
thing.
Exactly why Tarsem Singh did it, because Lynch is one of his faves.
Well, there you go. Yeah, but so. And I guess, like, the thing that Twin Peaks does is it sort of struggles with that throughout the whole series. Like, yeah. It really becomes about that murder and the fact that it was even, I think, used in the show. It almost becomes like a meta comment on it, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this, it's just, yeah, it just has no, like, use for for the women who are victims. Its use for J-Lo is just as a very nurturing mother type figure with yeah. a great ass. And I mean, the movie says she has a great ass. I mean, she has a great ass. She insured her ass for $1 million. She has a great ass. If you can insure it, you don't have to. It's an objective fact.
Like the deadly weapons that are Chuck Norris's.
Yeah, but it's a movie for. It feels like a movie that like a 16-year-old boy would find deep. And then an 18-year-old boy would be like, this is stupid.
Yeah, because it's full of just pop psychology that doesn't make any sense. And is even that – I don't – like the things they use in this movie aren't really real, right? Like the Joss Whedon
thing. Yeah. That's just one of those made-up diagnoses.
And
the serial killer is just doing these like, you know, extreme serial killer things.
Yeah. And it feels made up. To connect disparate parts of the movie. Like, it's like, oh, well, if they feel if this activates when they're in water, then we can have that baptism scene that we wanted. Mm-hmm. And then we can suspend them because then they feel like they're floating. That's a stretch. Okay. But like the water thing might connect it. And it feels like that is happening a lot where they're doing kind of story yoga, being like, how far can I stretch this without it breaking to connect things that 7 different writers have written mm-hmm. that don't quite make sense.
Yeah. And the other thing I have a sort of problem with is the way that they look at the serial killer. I mean, I'm not sure how comfortable I am with the whole, like, there's, like, an innocent little boy running around inside of him and, you know, that boy needs to be protected and, you know, like, they don't really explore the Vince Vaughn premise that whether or not, you know, people are all good or whether traumas create people who lash out and do terrible things or whether that is, you know, whether that makes them terrible people who are irredeemable or whether there's, like, a nice – or whether there's something good inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really – it doesn't make a convincing argument that there is an innocent part of this person that needs saving.
Well, it's a hopeful end and it's like let's look at the good side of human nature that there is – like no one's born bad, which I truly believe.
But he's a serial killer.
Yeah. But to your point, they don't make – they don't have that as like the ideological talk throughout this movie, and it should be. It should be like Ellie Arroway, like, you know, mm-hmm. Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey in Contact, like, you know, God or science, and that's the thing that drives the plot forward through the movie. This should – like that could – it could be that great argument of like is there inherent evil?
Mm-hmm.
But no. There
but also
– it doesn't do that.
J-Lo doesn't allow justice because, you know, she – kills him in the dream and then he dies, you know, gives him mercy, mm-hmm. he should be brought out of his coma to, like, stand trial or whatever.
They do say early on, like, no one gets out of this coma. They're going to be in the coma until they die type thing early on, which is why, like, I think it's okay that
then keep him in the coma.
That the kid dies at the end because, like, she also goes in and, like, that kid dies. You know, that's the end of this hopeful movie. It's like this little boy dying. And we never see the parents again. Also, there was never an ending with the kid. They had to go back and use part of the dream sequence that she had in front of the TV to, like, end the movie because everyone was like, what happened to that kid? And Tarsem Singh was like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay. That kid that was, like, the first 20 minutes of this movie? Can we talk about him?
Yeah.
Anyway, so
– yeah, what about you, Blaine? What did you think rewatching The Cell?
Yeah, I thought that there were some great performances. Vincent D'Onofrio, I mean, he does some great character work a lot of movies and a lot of, like, pop movies.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about Men in Black.
Oh, he's great in Men in Black.
He's great in Men in Black. I was just rewatching Happy Accidents, and I just fucking love that movie and love it. I think he does such a great job in the things he's in most of the time. And this is no exception. Mm-hmm. I think he has some uphill battle here and there, and so does J-Lo. I think he might succeed where J-Lo fails in certain instances, but who really fails is the Vaughn of it all.
Yeah.
And that's not – it's kind of in his period where he's like, I want to do serious roles. Like, put me in the remake
of Psycho?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone being like, don't do serious – stop it. So, yeah, I think there's – the
you
acting
just look
is really
bitter.
Wonky. And then, yeah, like I said, visuals, great. And I think The Fall, if you want to watch a movie that – if you like the visuals of The Cell and never want to rewatch this movie, which we don't blame you, go see The Fall because mm-hmm. that has the kind of visual aesthetic, but
without the nipple rings.
So many less nipple rings. I think there actually might be one nipple ring in The Fall. Now that I'm thinking about it,
damn it!
But it's a much better movie all around and made over the period of like 10 years. So it's really interesting to see. Whereas this seems like so many people trying to make money at the same time.
Yeah.
And trying to follow in the footsteps of some great movies that it wasn't. But I'd also say there's a clip on YouTube, a guy who's like, these are the 24 reasons why The Cell is just Inception. And there's literally scene for scene things that happen in both movies.
Oh, my God.
That are really interesting.
Do you think Christopher Nolan incepted The Cell?
I think The Cell incepted him to make Inception. What?
Oh, my God.
So, Rob, do you think this is rewatchable?
No, sir. I thought it was really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It is not great. I don't think it's rewatchable either. I think there are some things that are beautiful in it, but there's no story. It's just watch
a music video.
Watch Inception. Or Silence of the Lambs, which is an amazing movie.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for listening this week on Rewatchability. We're going to be back next week to talk about another movie. And until then, you can go on all the social media. We have like the everything.
Twitter. We just Facebook.
The only thing we're not on is Tinder. And, okay.
Date Rewatchability.
No. Yeah, swipe right. And you can get some T-shirts at TeePublic. And you can get all our back catalog episodes at rewatchability.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.